Good morning. Welcome to the First Baptist Church in Beverly on this bright, somewhat chilly Sunday morning, 1st of February. Whether you are here in our sanctuary or joining us via our live stream or watching even later on our YouTube channel, it is a delight to have you here this morning to join our hearts and our spirits in worship of a holy God. I have a few announcements to share before we enter into worship. And the first is something that you perhaps noticed, and that is that Julie is not here with us on the chancel this morning. Reverend Julie Flowers is having a grand time at Grattanwood with 13 middle schoolers and enough advisors to keep things under control for the weekend. They are due back a little bit later this afternoon, but we are grateful for the opportunity that they have had to go on retreat this weekend to share, to have fun, to learn, to grow together in service to God. So let us still our hearts and our minds and our spirits and prepare to enter into worship of the God who loves us. Let these words of Jan Richardson in her poem, How the Light Comes, call us into worship this morning. How the light comes. I cannot tell you how the light comes. What I know is that it is more ancient than imagining, that it travels across an astounding expanse to reach us, that it loves searching out what is hidden, what is lost, what is forgotten, or in peril, or in pain. That it has a fondness for the body, for finding its way toward flesh, for tracing the edges of form, for shining forth through the eye, the hand, the heart. I cannot tell you how the light comes, but that it does, that it will, that it works its way into the deepest dark that enfolds you, though it may seem long ages in coming or arrive in a shape you did not foresee. And so may we this day turn ourselves toward it. May we lift our faces to let it find us. May we bend our bodies to follow the arc it makes. May we open and open more and open still to the blessed light that comes. We welcome the light in song this morning with hymn number 22, All Creatures of Our God and King. Come, let us worship. We pause now to ask God to move among us in this time of worship and to make our hearts receptive to God's action. After this prayer of invocation, we will sing together the Lord's Prayer, the words for which are printed in the order of worship. Let us join our hearts in prayer. Good God of the eternal covenant, creator and sustainer of life and lover of our souls, open our hearts to your presence in this hour. We need you. You have called us to be salt for the earth, to preserve and flavor all that we touch. And for this, we need to be touched by you, to be seasoned by you. You have called us to let our light shine before others. For this, we need illumination from you, for you are the source of all light. Make yourself known to us in this hour, O God. May we be so changed by our encounters with you that the neighbors who you place in our paths will receive a little taste of your love and see a little glimpse of your light within us. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, who taught us all to pray together as we sing. Scripture this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. If you would like to follow along in the Pew Bibles, you can find this on New Testament, page 3. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. May God bless the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of these holy words. Amen.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, I talked with you about the internal tools we carry to assist us in assembling the realm of God. Doing justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly with our God are three things we can do simply by being aware, and not because we have to go out and acquire all kinds of inside knowledge or tools to do the job. Last week, Daniel had the unenviable task of trying to sort out why there are so many denominations in the world, all professing Jesus and yet all coming at it from a different way. And he rather wisely talked about how we can work towards achieving God's realm, even through the apparently inefficient means of a plethora of faith communities. And I think that's certainly true right here in Beverly, where a number of churches have gathered over the years and worked together on a lot of things that we are called to do, such as feeding the hungry and sheltering those who do not have a roof over their heads. It gives me faith that God is indeed working through many of us in many kinds of ways. A couple of the ways that we can assemble this kingdom, this realm of God in the here and now, is by taking Jesus at his word, especially in the words that he preached in the Sermon on the Mount. We all know the Sermon on the Mount. Perhaps we know it too well. We've heard it too many times, and we've heard it preached about so many times that it's become too familiar. And sometimes we need to repicture it. We may even have a vision of it in our imaginations. I always did. Maybe it was something that I borrowed from Hollywood. Who knows? But Jesus on top of a big hill with swarms of people around him, listening to him as he preached. And then I went to Israel and Palestine for the first time, and a second, and a third, and a fourth. But I walked where Jesus walked, and I stayed where Jesus lived, and I saw some of these places firsthand. And I saw a countryside and a terrain where the word just came alive. But even there, things are not always what they seem. For example, a little south of the town of Capernaum, where Jesus lived with the first disciples that he called, the countryside is very hilly. And on one of these hills, an order of Catholic nuns has built a church called the Church of the Beatitudes. The nuns have a convent and a guest house there. And there are many places where outdoor masses can be held for pilgrims. And there's also the requisite souvenir shop that all these places have. So you can buy that little token to remind you that you've been to the Mount of Beatitudes. Today, they call it the Mount of Beatitudes. And there are road signs saying, this way to the Mount of Beatitudes. There's only one problem with that. It's a really, really good, really small detail, but it's not the likely spot for the Sermon on the Mount. And for all intents and purposes, it couldn't have happened there. Now, about three quarters of the way down this hill, closer to the lake, to the Sea of Galilee, there is a cave entrance in the hillside. And someone who speaks from the entrance of that cave has the effect of speaking through an amplifier, and he can be heard all the way down, practically to the lake itself. And there are many places where you can kind of gather in a semicircle around that opening, and you can hear whatever anyone is saying. Of course, the one thing the thing is, you could hear someone like Jesus saying the Sermon on the Mount, and it would all be crystal clear. Nowadays, there's a road that kind of winds towards the bottom, and every time a bus or a truck goes by, and boy, those buses go by quite frequently, all filled with pilgrims. It drowns out the speaker, but Jesus didn't have that problem in his day. When we were there, our guide selected a volunteer to read from the Sermon on the Mount while we all gathered around. And that's exactly the kind of setting that was most likely, given the terrain of Galilee and given the way everything was set up. Now, whether this was the exact spot, no one knows. There are probably other spots just like it where it could be very easily where Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount. The thing is, it doesn't matter, but we have a good picture of what the setting looks like now. We can hear again what Jesus says when he says, "Blessed are," and he was announcing the kingdom's arrival and what would happen for people in various parts of life, in various stages, in various struggles of life, when the kingdom came in its fullness. Then Jesus goes on to what we've heard this week. "You are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world." What exactly does that mean? The salt of the earth. Could he be saying that you guys are good Joes, always ready to help, nice people? Are you are the light of the world. Does that mean it's just the kind of person you are? And were you born that way, or did you do it on your own? I think we can safely say no, no, and no. That's the missing point. That's missing the point completely. Completely. Jesus is essentially saying, you are now part of my community. You belong to God, and you are here to bring about the realm of God, not through anything you have done, but simply because I have chosen you. As salt brings seasoning to others, don't let it get so mixed with the wrong things that it loses its ability to season and is no good. I like that particular understanding because to me it's a metaphor of assembling, like one would put together a recipe and do some cooking. I'm a great lover of food, so cooking is one of those things I really enjoy. If I'm not doing it personally, my wife is, and she's much better than I am. Jesus says that as light, you shine in the darkness, and by your presence, you allow others to see what is out there and what truly is. After all, a light in a dark house enables everyone to see what is in the house. It makes visible everything around them. These are sayings that are not about working on your gifts. They are instead about showing all who can see the realm of God and the pitfalls between them and the realm of God. It is about discipleship. By being members of a community of Jesus followers, you are already light. The source of that light is God, but it shines through you and others like you if you take his word and his discipleship seriously. A good community of faith shines like a city on a hill, drawing to it those who want to be part of God's redeeming work, those who can see what's going on and how good it could be. This is the mission we are all on. It is not new. You have been doing it for years in this community, as have the members of other faith communities in this city and all around the world. It is always good to stop and think about who you are and what you are doing, remembering that we are as salt and as light in the world is a very good place to begin. Amen.
Beloved of God, we come now to our time of giving. With this message fresh in our minds, we are part of a community called to be salt and light to the world and to add the salt and light that we have to share to those of so many other communities. as well. So let us give our offerings in gratitude, rejoicing in the abundance of God's gifts to us. Let us give our offerings in faith, trusting that God will provide for our needs. Let us give our offerings in hope, knowing that God can use them to spread divine love and grace throughout this world. And in giving our offerings, let us give our very selves, that we may be set free from the restless striving for more, and so live with generous hearts and open hands, being that salt and light to the world. Let us give with hearts overflowing. As we draw near to the Lord's table, we have the opportunity to practice what it is that we profess. For here at this table, we remember and celebrate that we can be reconciled to God and reconciled to one another and reconciled to ourselves. And so with boldness, we dare to share the concerns, the needs, the celebrations that we have on our hearts, and to lift them up together to the God who hears. If you have prayers and petitions to share with the community this morning, I ask you to remember that the service is going out via live stream, and so please make sure that anything that you have to share is yours to share, or that if it involves someone else, that you know that they would be content with having it shared as well. I will start just by pointing out that I will celebrate that it seems that I've got this microphone licked on my face, finally, after all this time. So that's a joy to celebrate. Are there any other concerns and celebrations that we can share with one another? Let's join our hearts then in prayer. All glory is yours, Creator God, who made the universe and called it good. We praise you for this earth, for life and breath, for wonders we have seen, for glories unfolding around us, and for mysteries yet to be revealed. From the beginning, your living word has guided, encouraged, and corrected us. Your prophets have called us back when we have gone astray and prepared us to receive the outpouring of your love and mercy. We praise you for the Christ who chose to come as one of us and lived among us full of grace and truth. We thank you for bringing light to our darkness and opening our eyes to the abundance of your grace. Yet still there seems to be so much darkness sometimes. We have shared our deep pains and concerns and needs with each other and with you this morning. And we, looking farther, we see so much more that seems so dark. We see millions displaced from their homes and countries by the ravages of war, by political and other organized violence, by the fallout from global climate change. Millions from Sudan, from Syria, from Gaza, from Bangladesh, Turkmenistan, Myanmar, Ukraine, Colombia, Venezuela, Nicaragua, and on it goes. Millions cast out of their homes, their communities, the places where they have lived, wandering the world and not receiving welcome in so many places. We see billions stripped of dignity, stripped of their humanity, reduced to bodies valued only, if at all, for the labor that they can perform. There's so much that still seems so dark. So we ask that your light would continue to shine. We ask that your light would shine through us, but still more, we ask that you would open our eyes to those glimpses of light that are around us, that we may be heartened by them, that we may take hope in them, that we may thank you properly for them. We thank you for new life that we see coming into the world. We thank you for lives transformed, for relationships restored and renewed by the power of your love. We thank you for the resilience and hope in the stories that we might hear from the women helped by Amira, for the many, many fed in the meals program around Beverly, for those served by Beverly Bootstraps and Family Promise and Harbor Light, and so many other organizations and people who are bringing your light to this world. We thank you for that. And now as we approach the table that you have prepared for us, we ask you to make us one with Jesus Christ and with all who share this feast. Unite us in faith. Encourage us with hope. Inspire us to love that we may serve as your faithful disciples from this day forward and into eternity. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
This table is God's table. It is not the church's table. All are welcome to receive what comes from this table as we remember Christ's, Last Supper, when he came to his disciples and said, this is my bread and this is my body and this is my blood. This bread and wine is for everyone.
Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he broke it, he blessed it and he said, this bread, this is my body, broken for you. Take and eat all of it.
Let us partake of the body of Christ.
In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup. And he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembering me. Remembering the blood of Jesus poured out for the many, let us partake together. Scriptures say that after Jesus finished that meal with his disciples, they sang a hymn and then went out into the world. Let us do the same together, singing hymn number 472, "We Are Living, We Are Dwelling."
May Christ, the Son of God, be manifest in you as salt, as light, that your lives may be a light to the world. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen.